Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic here with Street Talk Theology. I want to say hello to all our street talkers. And you know what I say, we're hoping, I hope that you take your sound theology and bring it to the streets. Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail. We are continuing our conversation this morning with Pastor Michael Teddy and Hashuk Mohan from Redemption Hill Church in India. And we are speaking about, obviously, God's sovereignty and human responsibility. And I was talking to Pastor Michael off the air, obviously, Hashuk, and, you know, how do we start, you know, how do we leave off from last week, and how do we start? And I think that Pastor Michael made a great point. There is a tension. There is a definite tension between God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. So, Ashok, listen, we're going to give Pastor Michael the easy task of the easy task of making God's sovereignty and human responsibility so easy to understand, right, Pastor Michael? We'll go away with a clear understanding of this, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's that's something that's not going to happen. But indeed, I love to talk about the Word of God. So yes, it is like you said, Pastor. It's absolutely true. There is a tension, but I think the first thing that we have to understand is the tension in the Bible does not exist just between man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. There are many places we find such tension. For example, you know, if we read Paul's writings in his epistles, there are times when he talks about grace in such a, you know, in such a measure, it almost sounds like there is no more law whatsoever that we need to live by, because he goes on a tangent to talk about the beauty of grace that is able to go deeper than the deepest sin, right? And then you'll find him immediately jump to talking about the law as though the law is holy, and the law is holy, but he talks about it as being very important and very crucial, and why Christians are lawful people. And so you begin to find, especially in the book of Romans, Paul seems to lean to one extreme and lean to the other extreme, and you begin to feel that there are tensions between these things as well. So he would talk about joy of Christian life, which seems to be surpassing and inexpressible and all beautiful. And then he talks about sorrow and suffering as being necessary and crucial and severe. And we begin to look at these things and we think, okay, that's a contradiction in terms. You know, you can't be as sorrowful as Paul was and as joyful as he claims to be. You know, and we cannot reconcile. And that's the beauty of the gospel. And that's the beauty of the God whom we worship, is that when we are able to come to his word and understand that he wants us to be a people who are obedient and lawful. We know in Matthew 7:21, he talks about many who come on that day and say, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy and do mighty miracles in your name? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. So clearly God's people are called to be a lawful people, but also clearly God's people are called to be a people who live by grace and not by the merits of their works. And so we begin to see that in all these tensions, they go together, and our challenge is to try and harmonize them. And so when we come to God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, we really are talking about God's freedom or God's free will to do as he so pleases and man's free will. And how do these things coexist? Because if we're saying that salvation is the result of God's sovereign will to choose, to elect, to save, to predestine, to conform to the image of Christ, and to glorify, to sanctify, if that is God's sovereign intent and choice, then does it not affect man's choice? Does it not violate man's choice and his free will to resist it? And that's really the question that we come up to. And the point is, it does not. Because man, you know, I like to say this in the church, when we were studying Romans, I told them, no one is free but God. No being in the world is free but God. Because all of us as created beings are bound by, if I think just about myself, there are many ways I am bound to think culturally. Because I've been brought up in my culture, my default is to think the way the people around me think, right? And I'm always being influenced. So whether I watch movies or I travel abroad or I listen to sermons, you know, in fact, people make fun of me because I listen to a lot of John Piper sermons and I begin to have hand movements like he does. I begin to talk like he does. And
do you grip the pulpit? Do you grip the pulpit like he does?
I do. I grip the pulpit. You should go and see my sermons. You will find me grip the pulpit like he does.
Yeah, he does that.
It's just a default for me. And what I begin to realize is, we are all people who are influenced, but God is not. God is not someone who changes based on the influence of anything external to him. He is the only being who is truly free to choose. All our choices are bound by all of these influences, and the Bible tells us it is also bound by sin. So as people who are sinners, And our flesh is corrupted by sin, we have the freedom. I think it was John MacArthur gave an example that was very helpful. He said, prisoners in prison are free to do what they want to do in the confines of the prison.
Yeah. Right? I can attest to that. Amen.
So that's the limits of their freedom. And so when we say freedom for God and freedom for man, we're talking about two different things. And so when God exercises his free will to save a human being who does not have the will to choose him, because what we read in Romans 8 is that it is impossible for the human flesh, for it is not able to please God. It is in hostility towards God. So you're not looking at an equal scale. You're looking at men who are corrupted in their sin, who are unable to choose God, who are unable, and all their body is resistance because of sin. So we have this great bondage upon us, and God comes in his free choice to choose to save a remnant for the glory of his name. And so if we see ourselves as people, as John Bunyan portrays it, if we see ourselves with people having that weight on our shoulders, our sins on our shoulders, weighing us down, then we see God come in his sovereign will to free us, not as a violation of our will, but a freedom from sin, allowing us to believe in him and live a life of hope. And so that's where the unification of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility is perfectly met in Jesus Christ on the cross.
Yeah, this is hard stuff. So, but I get it. So I mean, Luther wrote the book Bondage of the Will. And if you see that book, it seems like when God gives you the Spirit by his grace, then you become free.
Yeah.
Right. And in other words, until then, you're like in chains. But in all reality, Ashok, when you are in bondage to sin, you have to be freed from that bondage, to be able to be free in Christ. I guess, am I reiterating that right, Pastor Michael? I mean,
yes, yes. If the Son has set you are free indeed, the Bible tells
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
And so that is the hope.
Well, I'm not letting Ashok off the hook. I got a good one for him. I did want to hear all our hearts this morning. We are not going to dot every I and cross every T with this.
Yeah.
This is above our pay grade, but I think that we are trying to expound the scriptures, what the scriptures say. But I think all of us, this is tough stuff, right? I mean, this is not easy stuff to decipher. So here's something, in Matthew 22:14, this is for Ashok. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. So I just want to break that down a little bit, Ashok, if I can. Many are called, few are chosen. So the ones, and just throwing this out there, I know Michael is going to chomp at the bit at this too. But Ashok, many are called, few are chosen. So let's say we've kind of discussed the chosen part, really.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are called in that context are those ones that are almost like Hebrew 6, are those ones that are even maybe preaching the gospel or giving the gospel or look like they're in the things of God, or the ones, I think it was Pastor Michael or you said earlier that, you know, they prophesied in your name and things like that. Is that called and chosen? Can you explain that to us? Ashok looks excited to talk about this. I'm glad because I'm out of words on this one. Go ahead, Ashok.
That's my best understanding of that passage because it parallels with Matthew 7 as well as Luke 13 as well, where there are people, many will try to enter through that gate. So there is some sort of effort, but that's not a right effort. That's what I understand from the parallel text as well. So I understand this to be the general calling as well as people at some level appearing to be the bride of Christ, appearing to be the church. But then are not the called people. So like we were talking about earlier, Hebrews 6, it talks about a people who have partook in the works of the Spirit, but then have denied Christ, right? They have walked away from faith. So there is a classification made there. And similarly, we see in Matthew also many people coming and saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons in your name? So I do believe that's the kind of call that is being spoken about. So even I think we can even take the examples of the different kinds of seed that fell on the good soil, on the rocky soil. We see a couple of cases. There's a response from the side of the seed. It seems to be sprouting up and showing an initial growth, but either the thorns and the thorns choke it away, or they wither away because the roots cannot form where there's no good soil. So they seem to be responding at some level to the call, but it's not effectual in the sense it is not salvific. It doesn't go all the way through. So that's what I've best understood the text to be. Many are called, few are chosen.
You know, so I'm thinking about this, and I did some, there's a great commentary on the parables by a guy named, I think it's Clyde Snodgrass. This guy's really, really good on the parables. Mm-hmm. So I think I just want to mirror what Ashok was saying. We're both familiar with the wheats and the tares, right? So the Darnell plant is a mimicking. Remember in the parable, it's kind of, you know, should we go take the tares out and I think is let them grow together.
Yeah.
And the Darnell plant actually looks exactly like the wheat during the whole time. And towards the end, just before it's around to sprout, it kind of starts to separate. But the whole time, Pastor Michael, it looks just like wheat.
Yeah.
And that was and I'm you know, what guy from New York? I'm not an agricultural guy, you know, so that was something for me because, you know, basically the wheat and the tares, and this is what Ashok, I think, was saying, and this, I'm going to put the ball in your court here, Pastor Michael. It looks like the wheat and the tares look the same until the end. That's some scary stuff. I mean, I hate to use the word scary, but that's not easy stuff, right, Pastor Michael? I mean, when I read that, that was not easy.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a big, in fact, it's a big pastoral problem because I keep telling my church constantly, I keep telling them, the most loving thing I can do for all of you is to call you to re-examine your life in Christ, to re-examine your standing in Christ, because the Bible tells us you will know them by their fruit. Constantly, even when we read in John chapter 15, and Jesus tells his disciples, go and bear much fruit. Well, you know, the Father prunes them and they bear much fruit, and hence prove to be my disciples, Jesus says. And so we begin to find that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when the final judgment comes and we are all taken up in glory, the Bible tells us what the story looks like. You know, we've got a sneak peek on what the end looks like. And the sneak peek on what the end looks like is at the end of it all, people will see, everyone will see that God has called the world to repent and to turn to Him. And there are those that have turned and those that have not. And those that seemingly have turned but were not genuinely turned, and like you said, at the end of the day they will be thrown into the fire. And Matthew 7 is really a scary place, where I would use the word scary there as well, because you've got people there who seemingly prophesy, who seemingly cast out demons and do many mighty miracles, and that too in the name of Jesus. And you know, I know how people think, because if you've actually got somebody who's doing, performing miracles in the name of Jesus and looks to be Christian, I mean, we're going to have a big spiritual position for them in our hearts. You know, we're going to think of them as, you know, we put people like that upon a pedestal. But we've heard of people upon pedestals who have horrible sins in their lives, who have been exposed. Some of them falling away from the faith, some of them walking away from the faith, some of them we hear of horrendous things after they've passed away. We are shocked by the things we hear. And you're absolutely right. So at the end of all time, that'll be the story, that the call of the gospel went to the ends of the earth, but not all who were called were chosen. Because as Jesus said, those who did come to Him were the ones that the Father effectually drew unto Himself. And so there is a difference between being called and being chosen, and that difference is in fruit bearing. You will know them by their fruit. Abide in Me and you will bear fruit.
Yeah, Ashok, you know something, as Pastor Michael was saying that, I was thinking about Judas and the fact that... Yeah. Judas, I mean, when the 70 go out, it doesn't say 69.
Right.
Or when the 12 go out, it doesn't say 11. So yeah. You would think that Judas was probably preaching and,
absolutely,
you know, things of that nature. And I was thinking about that. And that's, sometimes we don't think about that, right? Judas was, again, Ashok is excited to say something. That's good. Go ahead.
No, I was thinking of Judas while Mike was speaking. After having mentioned Matthew 7 and having mentioned Hebrews 6, even I was talking about Judas. We don't have to go that far. In fact, one of the disciples who was along with Jesus and probably has done much more miracles than most other people in redemptive history was not saved, and to the point that Jesus would say it was better for him not to be born. Right? Yeah, that's scary stuff.
Scary again, huh? Pastor Michael, second scary stuff.
And we know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And we begin to see that the fruit of the Spirit is relational. And we begin to see that the fruit of the Spirit is something much deeper in the individual than just intellectual knowledge or the ability to present themselves or do these kind of things. So a lot of people ask me, that person, that famous person over there who've been caught in this crime or who have fallen away from the faith, how could God have used them so mightily? Or how could they have done the things they've done and yet be so far from the Lord? And I tell them, haven't you read the Bible? That's not the measure of a godly man. You want to know the measure of a godly man? See how he is in his home. See how he is with his wife. See how he is with his children. See how he is in his prayer life. You will begin to see that at the base, if you look and examine a man's life in his family, you will see the fruit of the Spirit. If you see it, you know that this is a person in whose life God is working, at work. And that's what the church is for. The church is not a place for the pulpit to preach Sunday sermons and for people to go and sit at home. The church is meant to be a community where your lives are exposed with one another in that manner, where you see each other, you know each other, you know how you live at your home, you know your struggles, and you are helping one another draw closer to God, and you can only find the fake inside of the church. The litmus test, if we go to Matthew 18, we know that we are able to identify false converts only within such a community. And that's why church is so important, because it begins to strip away the falsehood in us and affirm the genuine in us.
Yeah, these are hard things. You know, we're at 20 minutes already. And I think that we would do this whole conversation a disservice. And so are you guys able to come back one more time, or how are you guys on time? Because I think, and I'm only saying this also to the audience. I mean, we're on air, obviously, because I want both of their pastoral guidance on this, because we can speak about this called and chosen and you know, but there's still got to be some challenge here for people listening, because if we just leave them with a lot of the and theology is important, but at the end of the day, as pastors, we want to be an encouragement, but we also want to challenge, you know, people. Not in a way that, you know, I think this conversation has even challenged me, like I think it's challenged you guys. I mean, when you speak about the things of God and you speak about sovereignty, responsibility, Judas, what about Demas left for the cares of the world? I mean, he was with Paul, and before you know it, Demas is gone, you know, so I wouldn't feel comfortable, ending here, because I think we covered all the questions, but I think what I want to do on the last segment is give both of you guys really a pastoral chance to encourage, challenge people to see where they're at. And, you know, and I think, and Pastor Michael and Ashok, I think when we challenge people and investigate these things, we also challenge and investigate our own hearts. Because nobody's exempt from this.
Yes.
So I think and I don't want to overspeak because I'm more of the announcer here, but I don't want to end here. I want to end where I can give Pastor Michael and Ashok, I want to give them an opportunity to encourage, to challenge, and to love on people. Because let me tell you something. This stuff is hard stuff. And we're not here as saying, hey, we got this all down. We don't, I don't think any of us got it down.
Yeah.
But we know God does. And the thing is, if we lose our pastoral aspect to this, I think we fall short of what we're trying to do here on Street Talk Theology. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, guys?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something off kilter a little bit. I'm going to have Ashok pray out for us right on air, right? And then after he prays, I'm just going to end the segment, and then we'll come back next week and we're just going to maybe just have Ashok and Pastor Michael just encourage and challenge the listeners. Is that okay, guys?
Yes, we'd love to do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Ashok, pray us out, and then I'll give the radio station a plug, and then we'll close with that.
Let's do that. Okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this time that we got together, O Lord, to speak about your truth, O Father, to discuss these great truths from your Scripture. We pray, O Lord, knowing and acknowledging, O Father, that we are not great minds, O Lord Jesus, who have figured out everything that's there, O Lord, these deep truths, O Father. We pray as we look into them and as we continue to look into them, O Lord Jesus, grant us grace that we understand these truths, O Lord, and we understand the purpose and intention behind these truths being in the Scripture, O Lord, and the Holy Spirit would apply these truths in our lives, O Lord Jesus, that we can live out in a manner that we are that we conform to these truths, O Lord. And we pray, O Lord, that you would bless all the listeners as well through these conversations, like you have been blessing us. So we pray, be with us, glorify your name, O Lord, in Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you, Ashok. This is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi on Street Talk Theology, where we take theology and bring it to the streets, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.